Okay, turn your Bibles tonight to Mark chapter number 5. We'll be going to read at verse 22. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet. And he besought him, that is Jesus, greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. And while yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue, certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, Why ye make this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, and entered in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand, and said unto her, Talitha kumi, which is being interpreted, Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. And he charged them straightway that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. Great question that we all need to have is, and ask ourselves, how big is your God? How big is your God? Here we find in the book of Mark that the Lord Jesus was revealed as the great divine Son of God. And he was revealed as the one who had power over all things. In chapter 1 in Mark, we see that the Lord Jesus had power over demons. And the Bible says in verse 26, And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. We find, as we read just a moment ago, that not only Jesus had power over demons, he had power over death. He said to the young lady, arise and walk. And he had power over death. In chapter 6, we see that he had power over disease. Chapter 6, verse 56. It says, And whithersoever he entered into villages or cities or country, they laid the sick in the streets and besought him that they might touch, if it were but the border of his garment, and as many as touched him were made whole. We find the Lord Jesus had power over all sorts of disease. And you know, it was nothing. The woman that we spoke of, she said, all I have to do is but touch his garment. I don't even have to touch him. The centurion said, Lord, all you have to do is say it, and it'll be done. And Mark chapter 9, we find that even the Lord had power over disabilities. In chapter 9:28, we have, of course, a blind man that was healed. And, well, that's the wrong verse. Let's see. We'll have to go with that somewhere else, okay? but the Lord had great power. Okay. Mark 8:22. Is that where we are? Did you say Mark? So many illustrations of that. Mark 8:22. And he cometh to Bethsaida, and there bringeth a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand, and led him out of his town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. And after that he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. A great God. When we pray, do we pray to a great God? When we pray, how great do we think our God is? You know, that's a great question. You know, he, without faith, it is impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so we see a great God. And the woman with the issue of blood, she had a concept of a great God, didn't she? Because she said, all I need to do is somehow... Can you imagine the crowd around Jesus? And there's this huge crowd, and she is pushing her way through the crowd and trying to get to Jesus, and obviously probably pretty weak lady, and a very anemic, and pushing her way through the crowd, and they're pushing her back, and they're trying to get to Jesus too, and she said, all I have to do is just touch his garment. That's all I got to do. I don't have to grab a hold of him or anything. Just touch his garment. A great God. And then we think, of course, this is also an illustration not only of a great God, but of great faith. Great faith. That's always an important issue, is what kind of faith do you have? The man came to Jesus, and his son had a demon. And we know the description of the demon and how it says in Mark chapter 9, verse 22, it oftentimes cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. And he said to Jesus, if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said, if thou canst believe. Mark 9:23, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. You can almost see, doesn't have it here, but you can almost hear him, Lord, I believe, but help mine unbelief. He recognized that there was a great spiritual issue there, and that was faith. Jesus said, if you had the faith as the grain of a mustard seed. Faith. The Greek woman came to Jesus and besought him. And the Lord says, well, you know, I'm sent to the lost house of Israel, not to the Gentiles. And she said, but Lord, the dogs even eat the crumbs from the king's table. And of course, dogs would be the equivalent of a Gentile. Dogs. I'm a dog. Just give me a crumb. That's all I need. And the Lord said, I've not seen so great faith in all of Israel. You know, great faith. He said, as he went to Nazareth and his hometown, he said, the Bible says he is not able to do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. You know, God is as great as ever. He hasn't changed. And those scriptures make it so clear how great our God is. But it also makes it clear that to grab a hold of God and to access His power, there has to be faith. There has to be faith. Great faith with a great God will accomplish great things. Freedom of access. I called it great access. Proverbs chapter 28. Let's turn there. A great simple verse in the Bible, Proverbs 28, verse 1. The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. Of course, it talks about life. And it tells us that the wicked have a hard time facing trouble. The wicked have a hard time facing difficulties. The wicked have a hard time dealing with great obstacles because they have no confidence in God. They have no confidence in their ability to approach God because the Lord says, if I regard iniquity, that David said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And the wicked regard iniquity in their heart. And that access to a great God is hindered. It's hindered. But the righteous are as bold as a lion. You know, some of you have heard of Rosalind Goforth. She was the wife of a great missionary to China. And Mr. Goforth, Jonathan Goforth, was greatly used of God in China, and Mrs. Goforth was greatly used of God in China. But if you've read, and Mrs. Goforth wrote a little book called Why I Know God Answers Prayer. And that's a great classic that every Christian ought to have, but in one of her experiences in China, she tells about a simple Chinese lady. And I'm not really, don't remember all the circumstances, but there was some a great difficulty in her family. I believe that some of her children had contacted some terrible diseases. And this lady had no problem to call upon the Lord and see her children healed. And Mrs. Goforth said, this lady had much freer access to God than I did. I had too much clutter in my soul. I had too many things in my soul. I had too many little sins in my life that kept me from being able to, with childlike faith, approach God. And she said this Chinese lady had none of those issues. She was free. Her soul was free with God. And she had just a simple childlike faith. And it seemed like whatever she asked, the Lord promptly answered her prayers. And you know, we can have a great God, but sometimes we have a problem in our own soul. A problem that keeps us from having great faith. Things in our life that preoccupation with other things, maybe even a playing with the things of the world. Just apathy, a lukewarmness. You know, those things are obstacles to approaching a great God. And yet, we do have a great God. And the Scripture is full of illustrations that that great God has power over everything. Amen? And there is nothing too hard for God. Nothing too hard for God. And tonight as we go to prayer, we need to be reminded about how great our God is. And we need to be reminded about this issue of faith. And there's many things that can keep us from having faith. If we are not filling our lives with the things of God, if we're not pursuing the Lord, if our heart isn't sold out to the Lord, if we are disconnected in worldly things, we're not going to have much faith, are we? We're not going to have much faith. And so the righteous are as bold as a lion, but the wicked flee when no man pursueth. And you know, we need to be the people that when we pray, number one, we ought to have the confidence, like the Bible says, that we know that He heareth our prayers. And the confidence that we may but touch His garment, we might be made whole. May that encourage us tonight to look within our own lives and to be encouraged to sharpen up our prayer life and our very relationship with God. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for a simple truth. And Lord, we know that your power hasn't abated. We know that, Lord, that you are still a great God. There is nothing too hard for thee. And even tonight, Lord, might we consider, be encouraged, not to look at the greatness of the difficulty, but to look to the greatness of our Savior and our God, and to approach Him in faith, and to trust Him for great things. And Lord, may our own hearts be challenged about our own faith, what may be hindering our faith, what may be things we need to take care of before you that would give us back that childlike faith. And so, Lord, work in the hearts of your people tonight. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.